Do you ever read in Proverbs? As we look at, I'm back up here, as we look at Daniel chapter 11 and Antiochus Epiphanes, and we're talking about how God used an ungodly man to purify your life so that you'll trust God and follow God, not follow and please people. Last week we talked about prayer, and this week we're talking about purification through pressure and problems of ungodly people. This man used flattery to get people away from God. And the Bible says in Proverbs that young men can get pulled away from God by a young lady that will flatter him. Because he's all flattered. She likes me. She thinks I'm somebody. You know, Samson was the strongest man that ever lived through the power of God. But one woman had him wrapped. I said one woman had him wrapped. I'll tell you what. When a man gets married, he needs to love his wife and show love and dote on her and all of that. And you ladies know that you don't want a guy that doesn't do that, and I don't blame you. But I'll tell you what, you don't want a guy that you can rap so that he doesn't follow God first. So that he doesn't follow God first. A woman does not respect a man if she's a godly woman that doesn't put God first. Even before her. And you need that. And that's what I'm saying. That God will let problems come into your life. And difficulties come into your life. So you have to choose. By the way, that's why young people, you shouldn't spend a lot of time dating in high school. You wait till you get to college. Till you're mature enough. Till you get ready to get married. Because it's going nowhere. But you're going to run that thing in the ground. If you're alone all the time together. Day and night all the time. There are things you need to do. You need to have a job. And you need to have spiritual activities. And you need to have college and all these things, and there's all these things, and if you just get wrapped up in that one relationship, it eventually will just destroy itself. And God says you've got to have everything in your life in its proper place, and sometimes God has to purify us so that we will get back to having God be first. You know why? Because we tend to be idolaters and we worship people more than God. That's why, by the way, sometimes you'll put your family above God. You'll put your family above God. Did you hear what I just said? Let me say it again. You'll put your family above God, and they'll lead you away from the law of God, from the covenant of your God. They'll lead you away. Why? Because you don't draw the line and say, God is first. You know, the Bible says that in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, family members led their own families to go against God's law. And so this man was able by flattery to control them. Brother Bob and I were in a company called Primerica, and a lot of what Primerica did was some of these people would get praised a lot, and they'd do anything for praise almost. It was like, what a motivator that was. Wow. Now, there's nothing wrong with a sincere compliment. I'm not downing that. But I'm saying when somebody's using that to get a person away from God, that is a bad thing. And what you'll find out, if you are chasing the praise of man, you can chase that like a bubble, and it will be like a big bubble that'll lead you away from God's will for your life, and it will pop someday, and you'll leave the perfect will of God, and get away from the perfect will of God, and you'll have wasted your life. And so God is using this individual, you see, to test, to see what the people of God are going to do. And the Bible says that he was used to test them by flattery and so on and so forth. And this individual, in verse 30, it said he came down to attack Israel. He came down to attack Egypt, and the ships of Chittim came against him. And does anybody know what the ships of Chittim represent?
Is it Italy?
Yes, it was Italy, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was a rising power, and this man was a smaller power that was local to Israel. He was a Syrian power that came out of the Greek Empire. And the Italians or the Romans, they sent a man by the name of Lionis down there, and they said, you stop this guy and you tell him, get out of Egypt and go back to your own country. You are meddling in other countries' affairs, and we are a growing superpower, and tell him to get out of there. And so Lionis went to Antiochus down in Egypt, where Antiochus had been successful, where he was winning battles in Egypt, and he said, right on the shores of the Mediterranean, I believe it was, he said to Antiochus, he said, now get back to Egypt. I mean, get back to Syria. Get away from Egypt. Go home. Take your army and go home. And he said, who says? And he said, Rome. Rome says. And he said, well, I'm just going to think about that. I want to just think about that. And history tells us that Lionis took a stick and he drew a circle in the wet sand around Antiochus. And he said, you think about it, but when you decide before you step out of that circle, that's how long you have. He decided before he stepped out of that circle that he'd go back and not fight Rome. Smart decision. But he was very bitter and angry. He was bitter and angry because his plans had been crossed. Let me ask you a question. When your plans get crossed, when God dashes your plans, do you get bitter and angry? If you do, then you are not really surrendered to God, and that's a stupid place to be in. You need to be spanked until you get sweet. I heard a preacher say one time that his wife used to tell him when he was spanking one of his kids, spank her till she gets sweet, honey. Spank her till she gets sweet. You know, I need that in my life sometime. If I don't get right with God, I say, Lord, have mercy on me, but spank me till I get sweet. Till I sweetly surrender to you. Till I want nothing but your will, because I know his will is what's best. It's not what people want for me. Not what family members want for me. Not what my best friend wants for me. My best friend is Jesus. My best friend is God. It's his plan for my life. Antiochus was angry because he was running his own life. And of course, the devil's in control of your life when you're running your life. Amen. He's in control of that. He came up with that philosophy. He was angry and he went back north, going back up home to Syria. But when he stopped it off, he stopped off at Israel to check out the political leaders that he was running and the religious leaders that he was running. He was running the Israeli government, really, and he had power over the Israeli government. Very important, because we're going to talk in the next lesson about who he's a type of. And we're going to talk a lot about a man called the Antichrist. Antiochus is a type of the Antichrist, and you need to come next week, because I'm going to talk to you about who the Antichrist is, and we're going to get into that deep. I won't even be able to cover that in 1 week. I am telling you, there are so many people that are confused about the Antichrist, but I want to tell you that Antiochus was in control of the religion of Israel, and he introduced a foreign element into the religion of Israel because he wanted people to worship him. He wanted to be drawn away, draw people away from God, and draw them away from following the God of the Bible. The Bible says that he was against the Holy Covenant, and he had armies to back that up, and he not only had a praise to give them, but he had armies to back them up. By the way, that is the approach of the world. They give you a carrot if you do what they want you to do, and they give you a stick if you don't do what they want you to do. And the Bible says that is what is going to be used to test you, to purify you. I remember the Soviet Union years ago. And the Soviet Union used to have a policy of strict, you can't worship God, you have to be an atheist, or you will be arrested and put in jail. And they were put in labor camps. And I remember during the time of the height of the Cold War, when this was going on, that there were a couple of men that went into a church that was in an illegal church that was meeting underground. And they said, with machine guns in hand, as they broke into that prayer meeting that night of a church maybe this size, they said, okay, now, everybody here, listen up. We're soldiers representing the KGB, and we're telling you, If you are truly a born-again Christian and you really are with this cult of Christianity, we want you all to line up against the wall over there. The rest of you can stay in your seats, but we want all of you that are really born-again Christian, we want you to line up against the wall. A whole bunch of people jumped up right away. They got against that wall. But a lot of people stayed in their seats. They said to the people that stayed in their seats, they said, "Now, you folks that are not fanatical born-again Christians, we don't want to keep you here. What's going to happen next? We're dismissing you. We say, get out of here. Get far away." They all rushed out of the church. The minority against the wall, the men threw down their weapons, tears in their eyes. They said, "Our brothers, thank God, our brothers, we know you're true comrades in Christ." And they hugged one another and they had a prayer meeting. You see, that's why God allows these things. He knows that we need to be purified from flattery. We need to be purified from the praise of man. And so he'll let things come into your life. He'll let people come into your life to test you. We've seen it here in this church. We've had two different times of testing in this church to see if we would follow God or follow those that weren't following God, and by flattery and by other things and gossip and slander, we're trying to divide and conquer and destroy the church. And those that went through those times have been fire tested. That's why it's great to know that there are some fire tested saints. Now, some of you have not been fire tested, and I'm not against you. I just say you haven't been fire tested, but you will be. And some of you need to know that that you will see people that when they get fire tested, they'll forsake you, they'll forsake the Lord, they won't stay with you. But those that have been fire tested, it is so sweet to have fellowship with those people. That's why I thank God for some of the older members of this flock, like Brother Sabotnik here tonight. A fire-tested deacon. We've seen some deacons that have failed those tests. The Bible says before a man serves as a deacon, let him first be tested. You say, "Pastor, you seem awful slow to present new deacons." Well, I've learned they need to be tested. Fire-tested first. And thank God for our secretary. She's been through some fires and gone through them. I want to say to you tonight that God will fire test you, and you go through that fire. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, He will literally praise God for your faith. He will praise God that your faith went through the fire. And He'll have some good things to say about you. And so in order to do that, we're going to have to go through some of these experiences. And I'm here to tell you, here's something encouraging for you. You say, "How can I be not a fair weather fan? How can I be a faithful fan?" Look what it says here. Go down to verse number 32 of Daniel chapter 11. And look what it says. It says, "Many and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt," the "he" is Antiochus, "by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Now, what is the key to overcoming this man who had flattery and who had money and who had arms? It was people that do know their God. You say, "How can I deal with the problems that are going to come up? I get afraid about the future, Pastor. I get afraid of what's going to happen." You don't need to be afraid. I don't know every detail about the future. I know some things that the Bible tells me. But you know the main thing I'm here to tell you tonight that you need to do to get ready for the future? You need to can beets and stuff like that. No, that's not the main thing. What's the main thing that you and I need to do, one of the men, to get ready for the future? And I'm talking about the hard times that may come in the church. I'm talking about the hard times that may come in America, like $4 a gallon gas and those kind of things. What's the main thing, Brother Joe?
Read the Word.
Read the Word? It's one very important thing. Read the Word. But what does it all boil down to? Yes.
You preached a message one time called Get Close Because It's Close.
You hear that? Get close because it's close. And that's exactly what it's saying here. Through reading the Word, you can get close. Through prayer, you can get close. Through not forsaking the assembly of yourself together on a Wednesday night because we've got all these important things to do. There's nothing more important than what we're doing right now at this time. Is Jesus here tonight? Yes! It's a priority. How will we stand then? As it says in Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah was told by God, if you can't keep up with a footman, how are you going to run with the horses, Jeremiah? How are you going to run with the horses of the apocalypse if you can't keep up right now? And you say, well, how do I keep up right now? You just walk with God. And the Bible says and makes you a promise, as your days, so shall your strength be. God never leads you where His grace can't keep you. God never gives you a trial, but that He doesn't provide for it. As I preached before, God's promises are not based upon conditions, but upon His preconditions. And His precondition is simply this. Partner with Him. Take His yoke upon you. Walk with Him daily. And He'll bless you and take care of you. The worse it gets, the stronger you'll be. Because as your days, so shall your strength be. That's what it's saying. And when these Maccabean people, when they came to that testing time, and it was told them, either offer this pig upon the altar and don't do it. Mattathias Maccabees, an old man, took a spear and jabbed it in the Syrian soldier's gullet and said, no, I'm not doing it. And they went and ran into the mountains, he and his sons, and began a great guerrilla warfare. Very interesting, though. The Maccabees became so successful. Listen to this. The Maccabees became so successful at fighting against Antiochus, they fought him for 6 years. Mattathias and then his sons, later on, one of his sons was called Judas Maccabees, and it was nicknamed the Hammer. They were so successful. Look what it says. It's very interesting. Verse 34 of Daniel 11. Now when they shall fall, and they were martyred, many of them, they shall be hoping with a little help. God began to help them. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Isn't that interesting? They were in hiding. They had to have underground worship. They had to leave their homes. They had to go and fight. But people joined their ranks and flattered them and said, we're on your side. But they really were not. And given the opportunity, they would turn the Maccabees in. I believe that when God blesses us and God gives us success, there will always be people that are not sincere, that are not here because of knowing God and walking with God. And given the opportunity, like Judas, they would turn you in. They would sell you out. Maybe they'd feel bad about it like Judas later on, but they don't have the knowledge of God. They don't have the grace of God in their life. I don't believe everybody here, I don't know who it is, but I don't believe everybody here is truly saved. You may know that in your heart, that you're not really here because of Jesus. You're not really here because of the grace of God. Now every one of us that are saved, we have sin in our life. I'm one of the chief of sinners. But I believe the grace of God's at work in my life, and I'm here because of Jesus. How about you? And if you're not, let me say to you tonight, the door is still open. Jesus invites you to really accept Him by faith, because this world is not our home and this world is not the way to go. And yet so many professing Christians are going to sell out their Bible-believing family members, church friends. I don't have any faith in the nature of man. I don't care who that man is. I have faith in God we trust. Amen? I don't have faith in myself. I have faith in God upholding me by His grace. And I've seen that tested in trials and troubles of life. And I've seen by experience how God has done that. And I'm amazed at His wonderful grace. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 5, you can rejoice in tribulation. The word rejoice there means to exalt. It means to kind of boast in it because you know God's up to it. And that's why I'm not afraid of the future. Why am I not afraid of the future? Because I know all the details and exactly what we should do? No. I know as much as God shows me, but I know God. I know God. That's the key. And you trust Him and you walk with Him and you pray for God's provision and protection now and you get purified and you purify yourself from pleasing people instead of pleasing God and let the troubles that you go through do that. And I want to wind up with this and notice what it says in verse 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge or purify and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. There's the jump. We're going to go now from the period of Antiochus, which was in about 171 to 165 BC. And now we're going to jump ahead to AD 2000 and question mark. We're going to jump ahead to the middle of the 70th week of Daniel when a man that Antiochus represents will put the pressure, especially on God's people in Israel, but it'll go worldwide. And I want to talk to you next time about that man. I'll give you a hint. It's not the man that we've already studied in Daniel 7. It's not the man in Daniel 9. Verse 27, the Roman prince. It is the Jewish Antichrist that we're talking about here. And not enough is known about this character. These two men, one of whom we've studied already in Daniel, but this next one we're going to study. These two men will factor in to what's going to happen in the future and can very definitely affect your life in a great and powerful way as we come down to the end of the age. But all I want to say to you is tonight, you don't have to be afraid one bit. And don't keep your eyes on the things of the future that you might fear. Don't keep your eyes on the devil. Don't keep your eyes on his demon. Realize he's there, but take one look at the devil, one look at his demons, and take 10,000 looks at the true Christ, Jesus Christ. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Walk with him today. You'll have what you need tomorrow. That's what he promises. He says, my yoke is what? Easy. He didn't lie about that. Does that go for the times of the greatest testing in the history of the world? Yes, because as the burdens grow greater, his grace grows greater. He says, that's all you need is His grace. His grace is sufficient for you. Isn't that a great message? I believe it is. And so you read about in Daniel next week, we're going to look at verse 36 and following. I want you to read about that. I want you to think about that. I want you to meditate on that. But I want you to think about Jesus, who is the ultimate victor. Let's pray. Bow for prayer together tonight. Let me just say this tonight. This message is a call to make sure that you know God. Knowing God is not just a decision I made 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Knowing God is a relationship with God, the Father, and with Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship? Have you been saved and entered into a relationship, and are you experiencing the power of His grace to any degree in your life through the years? Jesus said this in John 17, this is eternal life. Not that you might have a home in heaven, although that's part of it, but He said this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Do you know Him? Has your faith in Jesus Christ been a faith that's brought you into a relationship with Him? If it hasn't, listen to me. He invites you tonight to take His yoke upon you. What does that mean? That you turn your sins over to Him and ask Him to wash your sins away. And then that you ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. If you're not sure that you have that relationship, why don't you tonight just simply go to Jesus? Right now, right where you are by faith, and go to Him and tell Him. He said He's the door. And what a relationship you can have with the Father as a free gift because He paid for it that you might have it. I wonder if there's somebody tonight, nobody looking around, but you say, Pastor, I've gone to the Lord because I've not been sure about that relationship, whether I have it, whether I've ever received it. But tonight I'm driving a stake. I'm telling the Lord that I want that tonight, once and for all. And I want to settle that tonight. I wonder, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I've done that tonight. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. All right, you may put them down. That's so important. That's so important that you know, the Bible says, I know whom I have believed in and persuaded. I believe it's possible to be saved and lack assurance. And God says, I know whom I have believed in. Our salvation is based in Jesus, and He's perfect. He never fails. And by the way, you that are saved, and you know you're saved, and you struggle, listen, His grace is sufficient. Be honest with Him. And go to Him, because He'll give you the grace to conquer. I wonder, those of you that say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I've had a struggle with walking with the Lord and getting to know the Lord and being close to the Lord. And I've had some things in my life that have been keeping me from that intimate walk with the Lord. And I realize that is the priority. That's the only thing that's really going to hold me is my relationship to the Lord. And that's the very thing that the world and the flesh is trying to hinder in my life. And Pastor, tonight, I need to address that and have that more close and intimate relationship to God. Without looking around, as a Christian, I want to pray for you. You say, I need to address that tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand tonight? I need that growing, intimate relationship. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. All right, you may put them down. Very important tonight. Very important. It's a battle. Some of you know before some of the traps that Satan's got you into before. And you know that God has used certain people in your life to help you and to be accountable to those people. Don't be afraid of those people. Don't be afraid of being strict. Don't be afraid of being accountable. Let me tell you, there's things in my life I can backslide and I need to be strict. And sometimes I need to be strict with myself and be carefully separated because I can backslide. Some of you could get into drinking beer this summer. You could get into rock music this summer. You could get into sinful things. Even a good relationship, if it's overdone, can pull you away from God. Let's take the warning and heed it tonight. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You tonight for speaking to our hearts and, Lord, letting us speak to You in prayer. And Lord, Your word says, if any man thinks he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And Lord, we need to be warned about that. I realize that. But at the same time, Father, I thank You so much that You've said no matter what will happen in this world, You will give us the grace to overcome if we simply trust You and yield to You daily. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to act on Your word by faith. I pray for those that need the assurance of salvation that they might have that, a solid assurance based on truth, based on Your truth, based on Your Son. And Lord, that You strengthen them on that foundation. And then those that are saved, Lord, that You would help them to cultivate that intimate knowledge of You, Father, and of Jesus so that You are more real to them than anything and that they could feel like they could reach up and touch You and Lord, that it would be sweet. We need that, Lord, and we pray that you would grant that to us, even as we pray for the nation tonight, and pray for your angels to influence our leaders in order that we might keep going and use our freedoms for you, Lord. But so many times we've wasted that, and the church has wasted that freedom and that opulence and been selfish about it. Help us, Lord, not to be that way. Help us in the good times to draw near, that we might be ready for the bad times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.